right, what is up, everybody? This is another episode of For What It's Worth with Wes Hoffman. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you guys tuning in, as always. This episode is co-hosted by my good friend and bandmate, Hez Retnew. Hez Retnew is an awesome drummer, a great musician, super creative guy, and he actually purchased a Whale City drum from our guest, Nick Angelini, of Whale City and A Wilhelm Scream. So I had Hez on because he's familiar with Nick and wanted to kind of get a drummer's perspective on some things here. So this was a really fun episode. Really appreciate Nick for being on the podcast. And yeah, just really hope that you guys enjoy it. I have some awesome episodes coming up soon. If you do enjoy this podcast, please give us a rating or follow us on your favorite streaming platform. So I'm going to keep the intro short and sweet, and we're going to dive into this episode with Nick Angelini. For what it's worth. We have Nick Angelini on the podcast today. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Doing wonderful. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Yeah, and I also want to say I have my one of my best friends and bandmates, Hez Retnew, co-hosting this one with me. How you doing, brother?
Doing well, Wes. Super excited to be here on For What It's Worth podcast, and super excited to dive into it with Nick.
Absolutely, absolutely, 100%. So, Nick, of course, we know about Wilhelm Scream, and we're everybody in my band. We're all huge Wilhelm Scream fans, and you know, we know a lot about like your journey, and we've been lucky enough to play with you guys a couple times. But I'd really be interested in hearing kind of, you know, where did your even prior to Wilhelm Scream, how did your musical journey start as a drummer and percussionist?
I was in a band before I even had a drum set with my friends. We were called Billy Ruffian. That okay. Was, I think that meant Satan somehow. I forget how. But we ended up all getting instruments, and we kind of just played. We wrote these like really crappy punk songs, like old school, like Fear kind of like style punk songs.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, just like I had like two beats. It was like the surf beat, and then it was the beat that didn't have the two snare hits in it, which was basically the same as the surf beat. And yeah, we wrote a bunch of weird songs, and we just kind of did it like that. Yeah,
that's awesome, man.
So yeah, one day Trevor Riley actually came. Him and John Tav is our old bass player. They came knocking on my. They came to our practice one day, and he was like, "Hey, we need a drummer because." I was gonna start playing guitar, and we kind of need a drummer. And I was like, okay. But you have to. I was like, Trevor, you have to play drums in my band though, because I didn't want my band to break up. So I tried to force Trevor to play drums in my crappy little punk band back in the day. And they tried, but it didn't work out.
So were those? Was that kind of the beginnings of Wilhelm Scream or Smack and Isaiah? You know, was that kind of how where things started to formulate there?
Yeah, they were already Smack and Isaiah, and okay. I kind of jumped in at the tail end of Smack and Isaiah.
Awesome, man. Yeah. What would you say was really kind of like? Do you have a point where you felt like things were kind of really taking off for the band? You know, that you really felt like, hey, you know, we're really making it somewhere, or do you still feel like, hey, we've got a long way to go?
I think I kind of thought we were starting to make some progress when we found like this really good booking agent named Corey Christopher a long time ago. That was around the same time we got signed to Nitro. And she was kind of like a legit agent, and she kind of had some pull. She could call a venue and say, hey, if you don't take care of my boys and Wilhelm, then, you know, when Rise Against comes through, like, you're not going to get the gig and stuff like that. So I was like, okay, that's pretty cool, you know. So that kind of... That was kind of like that, and when we got signed to Nitro, I thought it was kind of a couple of steps forward for us.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. Yeah. Hez, I wanted to turn it over to you. I know you guys have been. I know Hez is a Whale City. I know you have this thing called Whale City that where you make drums and everything, and it's so awesome to see your videos and on you making them and the behind the scenes and all that. And we actually just toured with American Thrills, and Jeff from American Thrills also plays your drums. And he told me he didn't bring his Whale City snare because he didn't want it to get messed up.
But, yeah, that happens sometimes. You
know, I wanted to kind of turn it over to you because I know you're a little bit more, you're more of a drum expert than me, so I thought you might have some questions about, you know, the percussion side.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, Wes, because the actual first time that I saw Whale City drum and got to meet you, Nick, was when we played with American Thrills at the 30-Minute Fest in Philly. And I got to see his Whale City snare drum when he got it, like on day one, and it was just like super cool. I was really intrigued by it. I got to have a really good conversation with you about kind of like the process. So what kind of inspired you to start Whale City Percussion when you started that up?
Well, a long time ago, we went to Australia with Les and Jake. They brought us over there for a tour. And I never really cared like too much about drums. As like whatever kind of worked, I was kind of like, I had like a DW kit, and I was like, I think this is probably the kit that I'll probably have for the rest of my life kind of thing. And I think this one's good enough kind of thing. And when I was walking through this venue in Perth, Australia, somebody was playing a Brady drum kit, one of the opening bands. And they were stave shells, which is what I make. I make stave shells and segmented shells. And they kind of had this vibe about them. They were really like thick and powerful sounding to me. And I kind of stopped in my tracks while they were doing their sound check. And I was like, wow, like it just really kind of like knocked my socks off, you know? And from that point on, I was like, oh, I think I'd like to maybe get some Brady drums someday. And there was no way I was able to afford those because they were just super expensive back then. They still are now. They're out of business now. But so I ended up meeting this massive woodworker guy, and we got together and started building drums out of like scrap wood, and I pulled some hardware off an old Thomas snare, and we kind of got together and built like a prototype, and kind of went on from there. I kind of separated ways with the woodworker guy, and I did it all myself now. That was a really long time ago. And that's kind of where I discovered stave shells, and things haven't really been the same since, I guess.
That's awesome. I know you make like custom jigs. How has your kind of like setup for that evolved over the years with because I know it's a lot of work that goes into it, so I know like the workstation just has to be like, is it like a kind of a process? Did it come together overnight, or what's kind of been the process like there?
I've had a lot of different jigs over the years. Sometimes you'll spend like 40 hours on a jig and then the thing just won't work the way you intended it to at all, and it's just kind of a bummer. But over the years, I think that's one thing about being a woodworker is making jigs. If you can make like good jigs, you can be a good woodworker. It's kind of like making the tools that you need to make the product is kind of like harder than actually making the product, I guess. But excuse me. A few years ago, I picked up this old wood lathe, and I modified it into a router lathe, essentially. And I've been kind of using that for a long time. I had a way that I did the outside diameter recently. I had this idea to use some old cymbal stands to make this thing that holds the router to do the outside diameter of the drums, and that's kind of what I've been using lately. It's a lot better because I can adjust it a lot faster, and it saves me a lot of time. And it seems to be working pretty good. That's kind of where I'm at. That's my latest jig. I think I'm going to try something different with the router table soon. It's all about trying to like save time.
Yeah,
because it is so time consuming making these drums.
Was woodworking something that you already had an interest in, or like did you just kind of learn from you mentioned that guy that you had kind of been working with, like. Was that something that you already had an interest in, or that you just kind of picked up because you wanted to make drums?
I was always kind of like, was always trying to build something. I was always working with my hand. I made like these pocketbooks out of old beer cans for a while, and I was always into trying to just build stuff and just start from scratch and make cool stuff. And the drums is kind of the thing that I stuck with the most, I guess. I mean, I was a shop kid in high school. I was in machine shop for like my senior year in high school, and I was actually offered a job at a tool company, and I turned it down to go be in a punk rock band. I was always kind of that guy that was into tools and working with my hands and stuff.
Yeah, I know, like, for me, snare drum is, I've been playing snare before I was, have been, like, playing drum set, like, I started in fifth grade, and it's just, I've always based, like, my entire set around the snare drum. So when I got to work with you, like, on putting a Whale City snare drum together, it was just so cool. I was just, like, so open to what you had to say, and I trusted your judgment with it, and you really, like, came through with the snare that we worked on together, and just, it was so cool, because, like, I did the unboxing, and right out of the box, it just sounded amazing. So what's kind of, like, your go-to for quality check when you're putting the snare together? Because, like, I barely had to do any, like, I really didn't have to do anything. It was, like, out of the box, I could play on it, and it sounded great.
That's awesome, man. I'm glad it worked out like that. Yeah, I just try to just make it perfect, as perfect as I can, by building these things by hand. I just kind of want them to last forever, and I want people to enjoy them. I guess they're all, I just try to, like, make it as good as possible every single time, you know, like, I guess that's my quality control. I don't have a good answer for that, I guess. I just try to make the best job I possibly can, no matter what. Even if it, like, if it takes me longer than I want it to, it doesn't matter, because it's, like I said, I just want these things to be perfect. I want people to enjoy them and be inspired by them and have play them forever, you know?
For sure. And it definitely is, like, like, when you look at it, it looks like a piece of art. Like, and so I understand why Jeff was, like, not wanting to take it out, because I get that feeling. I know where he's coming from, because they're so beautiful.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, that kind of bums me out sometimes. I'm like, oh, man, just take it out. Sorry, if you break, I'll fix it for you. You know, don't worry. People tell me that too. It's like, yo, you're really gonna bring that? You're really gonna bring that on tour? I'm like, of course, yeah, definitely. Like, that's why I make drums, so you can play them. You know?
Yeah, yeah,
absolutely.
How much goes into, like, talking when an artist reaches out to you and says, hey, I'd love for you to make me a drum, like. What is kind of, how much do you get into it with the artist, as far as, like, you know, hey, what kind of sound are you going for? And I don't know anything about drums, so I'll leave it up to you guys. But, like, do you kind of, would you change how you know, what size or what kind of wood or what you're going to, how you're going to build it based off of, like, the band and that drummer's sound?
I think everybody's a little different. Some people know exactly what they want. Like, maybe they've heard a French drum, and some people really have no clue at all what they want to do, and I'll kind of have to, like, pry out of them what they really want out of the drum, like what they want it to sound like and stuff. And some people have really terrible ideas. Like, can we take four woods together from different parts of the world and make it all work? And then I'm like, well, that's not going to really sound but how you want it to, you know what I mean? Like, and all these worlds from across the planet aren't going to really stay glued together, because they're in different climates and just grow in different ways and stuff, you know? But, yeah, it's, I try to, like, a lot of people are super cool and know exactly what they want. Other people they don't really care what it looks like, and they just want to sound a certain way. Some people care more about what it looks like than what it actually sounds like. Yeah, it's kind of a mixed bag.
That's interesting, man. I'd be interested to hear a little bit about, like, do you have any kind of pre-show warm-up or anything before you go on and practice, that you, or, like, any rituals as far as, like, getting warmed up as a drummer? I mean, definitely from both of you guys, because Hez, I know you have a little bit of a pre-show ritual too. But yeah, Nick, I'd be interested in hearing kind of what you're, you know, what you do to get warmed up, because I feel like for when we play, I don't really get too warmed up with my guitar and stuff, but I do vocal warm ups and everything. And I know you can't tell now because my voice is all shot from being on the road for a few days. But yeah, I'd just be interested in that, hearing a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I basically I just bring a drum pad, and I'll just play on the pad for a while, just do some something, you know, like some rudiment stuff, and I'll stretch out at the same time. And I just slowly start hitting the pad a little harder and harder and play a little faster, a little bit like faster at a time. Just kind of, ideally, I'd like to be sweating by the time I get on stage, just because the type of music we play, because it's kind of like, it's almost like warming up for like a sport, you know. It's very physical, like playing a style of punk rock, I guess, I've developed over the years. Yeah, it's mostly just, I muscle my way through a lot of parts, which is not ideal, but yeah, so I'm kind of like trying to warm up for like I'm going to be playing like a basketball game or something like that.
Are you a pretty active person, like physically? Like, do you play sports on the side, or like, you know, are you a runner or anything? That does that like come into play? Because I mean, you definitely, as a drummer for a band like Wilhelm Scream, like you got to have some endurance, right?
No, I don't really exercise like in the traditional sense, I guess. I do, the only real exercise I do with my band makes fun of me all the time, because, like, you know, those ab roller wheel things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do that like every day. Yeah, Nice. 50 ab rolls a day. And usually, like, before tour, like 2 weeks before we go on tour, I'll start trying to like hammer through some like songs for this that we, like, I know we'll probably play in the set, and just basically try to simulate a set. I'll just go hard in my shop and sweat it out by myself. Yeah. And I'm just a generally active dude, like woodworking and stuff. I never stop all day. I'm always doing something. Whenever, like, I get to my wife's house at the end of the day, I sit down to watch TV and I just freaking pass out on the couch. So I think I'm really active. So yeah, that's about it.
That's awesome. So how do you stay inspired creatively after playing so long, like at a high level like that?
I think it's just like, you know, whenever I hear the new songs, it's just like trying to kind of have to step up just to kind of keep up with the band. I'm always trying to figure out ways to play that is not going to hurt my body as well. You know, like right now I'm trying to learn how to play with my fingers a little more, just because I got like arthritis in my shoulders and in my thumbs and stuff like that. So it's trying to, like, if I'm playing like a beat that's easy, I can almost like hold the stick with my pinky or something like that, just to rest the other muscles in my body, you know. Just,
oh, wow.
I'm trying to, like, just come up with different ways to not hurt myself, I guess. Yeah, I never really, like, had any, like, formal training, so I just kind of just came up with all these ways that I do things, and, yeah, I got a little bit of wear and tear, I guess, but, yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, I saw you guys have been recording a new record. And I'd love to hear, I've been following Trevor's stories and everything. And, I'm interested, how early do you guys, cause kind of the way we've done our last couple records and, you know, or our recording process is like, I'll record a song and I'll kind of map out drums just with the GarageBand drummer. And then I'll bring it to Hez and he'll change and add in different parts. And I'll kind of say, well, this is what I had the GarageBand drummer doing, but I was thinking more of this different beat. Like, how early on do you get involved with drums on, like, the Wilhelm Scream recordings?
Yeah, we do kind of similar way, I guess. Trevor's really good at writing drum beats. Trevor will come up with a lot of beats. Yeah, like the last record, he had a lot of beats for all the demos. Sometimes, like, I'll get a demo with like finished drums almost, and I'll kind of tweak them for the way I like them, kind of. And sometimes it'll just be, you know, vocals and guitar, and I'll come up with like more drums than other songs, you know. And then this last record, it was kind of like Ben jumped in the band for this last one, and he's also a drummer, so this one's been a lot more like all three of us kind of together writing the drums a little more than like in the past. Most of the time in the past it'd be like Trevor and I writing the drums together, even before like Pro Tools and stuff. Trevor would jump on the kit sometimes and write beats, and we'd go back and forth with different ideas we have. So it's mostly been Trevor and I in the past, and for this last record, Ben got involved with some of the drums too, because he wrote some riffs for the new record and stuff too. So yeah, he used to be like a metal drummer back in the day. He still plays drums, but he's more of a guitar player now.
Yeah.
It's like a team effort, I guess.
Awesome. Has I looked like you were about to say something, so I didn't want to say anything.
Oh, no. One of my questions was going to be, like, who are some up-and-coming drummers that you're excited about right now? Or any kind of, like, Will City drummers?
There's this kid named Ethan Church, who is... He's just so freaking good. I think he just turned, like, 19, maybe. And he's amazing. He blows my mind, like, whenever I see this kid play. He's out with this guy named TX2 or something like that.
TX2.
Yeah, I guess it's, like, this internet kid that wrote a bunch of songs, and then he brings out, like, a touring, I guess, some dudes just to play the songs live. But this kid, Ethan, does a lot of stuff. Just, like, he plays songs on the internet and just... He just develops so fast, and he can also, like, he's one of those kids that has, like, amazing chops. He can just, like, play all this crazy shit, but he also just knows how to, like, lay back and sit in the pocket and groove if he needs to.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are there things that you do to kind of, like, you know, the summer's coming up, and I'm, a few summers ago, I took guitar lessons, and I took guitar lessons when I was a kid for a little bit, you know, and now that I'm older, I'm kind of like, you know, I have my own patterns and boxes that I play in, but I'm trying to kind of break out of those. And this summer, you know, we don't have a lot of shows booked until the fall. So I'm looking forward to taking lessons again and just kind of learning from somebody and sitting down. Is there anything that you do to kind of, like, expand your, you know, what's the right word that I'm looking for? Just, like, get better, improve, you know, on your craft as well.
Yeah, like I said earlier, I'm trying to learn how to play with my fingers before I, like, play songs. Excuse me, when I've been rehearsing for these shows we got coming up, I spend, like, just 5 minutes, like, trying to, like, play with my fingers and try to figure out how I hold my stick a certain way. And I just try to figure out how I can transition into playing with my fingers. And a while back, I got the Jojo Mayer foot technique thing. Like, he put out this video. This guy Jojo Mayer is just, like, this ridiculous drummer, and he put this video out so you can get faster hands. And then a few years later, he put out this foot technique. So I've been working on my Jojo Mayer foot technique as well. So before I start actually playing, I'll spend, like, you know, 10 minutes on my foot technique, and then another 10 minutes on just trying to be able to, like, get smoother by playing with my fingers. I'm always doing something like that, just something to try to, like, take my game up a notch, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, there's always something that comes up when I'm playing live. I'll be like, oh, I'm muscle on this part. I wish I knew how to play this without having to kill myself, you know? So I'm always trying to, like, just trying to be smoother, I guess. Just come up with different techniques on how to be smooth.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I know you guys are from New Bedford. Are you a big Celtics fan?
I really am, yeah.
Okay, I thought I've seen a picture of you wearing a Larry Bird jersey before. Are you, I'm a huge 80s and 90s NBA. I'm 42, so I, like, grew up in the, like, and I'm from the Midwest. So I grew up watching Jordan and the Bulls were, like, my thing when I was a kid. But do you have, like, a favorite Larry Bird moment or a favorite Celtics moment that you remember from... well, I mean, I know they just won the championship, like, last year, you know, but, you know, do you have a favorite moment that sticks out to you?
Yeah, I like the same era of basketball you were just talking about, too, like the 80s when it was a little more brutal and it wasn't as, like, ticky-tack, you know, I like the story when Larry Bird, like, I forget who he was up against, but he's like, hey, I'm going to, like, fade to the left and then I'm going to go right and then I'm going to dribble this way and then I'm going to shoot it right over you. And then he, like, does that exact same thing and just shoots over the guy, and the guy's just like, that son of a bitch, I can't believe he told me what he was going to do, and then he just went and did it, you know? Yeah, like, Larry Bird was the man.
Oh, absolutely, man. I still watch. I was just talking about to our bass player, Jacob, on tour about how, like, that whole era, there was, like, a whole... Like, back then in the 80s and 90s, like, not every game was televised, or it wasn't televised in an area where I was. So there's a lot of players that I never really got to see when I was, you know, maybe like 13, 14 years old, that, you know, I collected basketball cards, so I would see them. But, like, now with the internet and YouTube and everything, I'm watching, like, games from 1994, Suns games with Charles Barkley in them and stuff like that, you know, because I didn't get to, even though I know the outcome of that season, I didn't get to see those players play, and that's what's really fun to me, you know?
Yeah, I'm a sucker for all those old documentaries about you know, whoever, the Celtics or the, like that Jordan thing, The Last Dance that came out, that was really good.
Yeah. I don't know if on HBO, I just watched, there's this documentary called Celtic City. Have you seen or heard of that?
Yeah, I watched that whole thing too. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, that was really cool. I'm not even really that big of a Celtics fan because I'm not from that area, but it was just really interesting to see like about the whole dynasty and where things went from there. You know, like the whole history. I mean, that's the biggest dynasty in all of basketball. You know, it really is cool to see like the highs and lows that they had and. Like Reggie Lewis, I didn't even really know much about Reggie Lewis at all. And that little part about him, how he was going to be kind of like the next person to take over the team. And, you know, after Bird, and then he just passed away so unexpectedly. I thought that was just like, I really didn't know that whole story. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, that was brutal. They had Len Bias died. And then it was, I forget which order it was Len Bias. And then it was Reggie Lewis, the two like up and coming guys. Yeah, it seemed like everybody felt like Reggie Lewis was going to be like better than Jordan. So that was brutal. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I grew up during like the Paul Pierce era when it was just him and Antoine Walker. And they were just terrible for years. That's when I was really watching basketball. Like, I really, really started. I had to go backwards like for the Bird and Robert Parrish and stuff like that. But yeah.
No, I totally get that. Yeah, I mean, then they won it in like 2007 or 2000. I think it was 2008, maybe. Yeah. That was awesome to see that as well. Lakers and Celtics in the finals. So.
Yeah.
Well, we've got like 10 minutes left. Has any other questions? Any other more music related questions? I could talk about NBA basketball all day. So.
Yeah, I have a good one. So like. Punk is hard. It's demanding. It's challenging. What advice would you give to like new drummers, young drummers, on how to get into like punk drumming?
Ooh, that's a good question. I never got that one before. I'd say work on the molar technique. I think would probably be the way to do it. that's kind of how my style of playing. This thing called the molar technique is like you can get kind of like three hits out of one hit, sort of. And I did like this bastard eye version where I get like two hits out of one. And you got to really start slow and then just kind of like gradually get faster. But at the same time, you got to kind of like power through some stuff as well. You got to get in good shape, I guess. You know, you got to get strong and I don't know. I'm the worst guy to give advice because like I learned completely the wrong way.
I agree though. Sometimes you just have to play fast and like muscle through it and just practice that.
Yeah, just sweat it out, you know. Try not to. I like to say that, but also at the same time, like, don't hurt yourself because that's what I did. I didn't really physically like break bones or anything like that, but just wear and tear and playing like the wrong way for long. Just pay attention to your body, I guess is a good one. If something hurts you, like maybe try to figure out a different way to do it.
Yeah.
Rather than killing yourself, you know?
For sure. I think that's good. I like what you said about just like getting in shape because I feel like sometimes we do see bands that we play with that like, you know, I love that like just fast punk beat, that like double time. But I can imagine that's super hard to keep up. And sometimes, you know, you see a band and you can see a drummer, it's like, man, it's like that is a tough it's a tall order to keep that going for a whole song, like, you know, like Josie, Blink-182's Josie or something like that. You know what I mean? And it's like, man, you would really have to stay in shape. And then, you know, the guitar guys, all we have to do is just stand up there and jump around. But you guys are like going breakneck speed for, you know, 3 minutes straight. So I think that's a good point, man, that like just that staying in shape is super important.
Yeah. Yep. Yes, indeed.
Absolutely. And then off topic of drumming, can you share a funny or wild story from the road, like from tour, or like one that really like stands out for you?
What just popped in my head was we were on tour with you know that band Make War?
Oh yeah.
We were on tour with Make War, and they had this guy playing drums named Danielle. And he was like kind of like a jazz guy, and he was like kind of just the Make War guys talked him into doing like the punk stuff that they do, you know. And I got off stage one day, and he just looks at me and goes, "Hey, you're the machine." I was like, "What?" He's like, "Yeah, you're the machine." And then I was like, "Oh, well, thanks, man." You know, and, like we ended up becoming good friends after a while. I play a bell, like this like Fugazi bell that they stole the idea years ago, and he always wanted to borrow my bell and stuff. And then after there was this like song that they would play after I got off stage. It was like this like Latino jam. It was like La Machina, La Machina. It was like the machine. And we would get off stage, and like they'd play that song like on like a speaker, and we'd all just like dance around like after the gig. It was that was fun.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. I do love that bell. It's a good bell.
Thank you. Was that kind of what you're looking for? Or?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Cool, man. Well, Nick, thanks so much, dude. This was really cool. I know, you know, we both have been following you for a while, and it's just cool to connect with you one-on-one. And, you know, I know Wilhelm has, I think you guys are hitting the road this week. Where are you guys headed?
So Thursday we're playing in Lowell at this place called, Tafta Music Hall. And then on Friday we are playing in Pawtucket, Rhode Island at this venue called the Met, which we've played a million times. It's a super fun place to play. It's nice because it's only about a half hour from New Bedford, so we get a lot of friends coming out.
Nice.
And then we're doing the city, what is it, Quebec, Three Rivers, Trace Rivers.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's the one after Bad Religion, the deadliner set. It's called Festivox.
Yeah, Festivox, yeah.
Oh, Festivox.
I've heard of that, yeah.
And then we have one more show in Quebec in a city called Sherbrooke.
Okay.
Then we come home, and then we're off until September. We're doing the west coast of Canada, and then in October we're doing Europe with Hot Water, The Flats.
Oh, I saw that.
A bunch of other bands too. Yeah, it's like this travel like festival thing that should be pretty awesome.
Yeah, they love punk rock in Canada. We played two shows up. We played two shows up there a few years ago. We want to go back, but we had an awesome time up there. Is any of those shows that are kind of in the Northeast, are any of those, is one of those with Oh the Humanity, I thought I saw?
Yes, yeah, they're playing the next two shows with us, I believe.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, love those guys.
They're not playing in, I think they're just playing in Lowell.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, well, those guys are awesome too. They're really sweet guys.
Yeah, their new record's really good too.
Oh yeah, it's great. I pre-ordered it. I don't always pre-order stuff, but I pre-ordered it on vinyl. I was like, I want to get this first before anybody else. So,
yeah, I listened to it, like Trevor obviously recorded it, and I was like, oh, let me check this out. And then I was like, this sounds really good, and like I was like, oh, the songs are really really good too. And like I was like, okay, yeah, these guys killed it. They did a great job on that record.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I had them on the podcast. It's been a little while now, but yeah, it was really cool to kind of talk about their recording process and their influences, because they're all over the place, like, you know, from pop punk to hardcore and metal and thrash and all that too, you know. So cool. Well, Nick, thanks so much, man. We really appreciate you taking some time to talk with us today. I'll probably have this up on Thursday.
Okay, awesome. Thank you for having me. This was great.
Yeah, you bet.
No, thanks, Nick. Thanks, Wes.
Okay, thank you very much.
See ya.